Sixth Sense podcast is brought to you by Grin Brush. Happy teeth, happy planet. Grin Toothbrush is a toothbrush that takes better care of your teeth and the planet. It's beautiful, responsible, and automatic. Listen, fellas, you're going to be saving time and money when you subscribe to get your premium toothbrush delivered to you for less than what you're paying for drugstore brands. Not only that, you're going to be going green. You're going to be saving the environment. The Grin toothbrush uses 85% less plastic than disposable, overpriced drugstore brands. And finally, you're going to be simplifying your life. You get these fresh brush heads, and replacement reminders arrive automatically to you to let you know when to change your brush head so you can be putting the cleanest toothbrush, germ-free, into your mouth. Now, gentlemen, this is a great gift for the ladies, sisters, brothers, kids, mothers, fathers, anyone in your family, friends. So if you want to pick one up for yourself or anyone else, go to grinbrush.com and enter the promo code 6 cents, and you'll get a 15% discount on your subscription. Again, go to grinbrush.com, enter the promo code 6 cents, and you'll get a 15% discount on your subscription. All right, fellas, go sign up and take care of your oral care.
Yeah, I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window. Sitting in a console.
Podcast, none other than the Sixth Sense podcast coming at you. Zach Cosby, if you're not familiar. And of course, we'll have Andrew Kirkland and Matt York along, as well as a very special guest. Happy to have a friend of the show coming on a little bit later. Of course, we'll have the Commissioner's Corner off the top. We'll get some NFL headlines from those of you who somehow don't care about the UFFL, which is heading into week 7. I myself am 500. After a couple of interesting matchups last week, we had the Mo and the Dud from last week featuring our fine podcast Sos in the matchup of the week. So we'll get to a recap of that. And like I said, a very special guest who's waiting patiently. So we don't want to make anyone wait, because we also have Matt York on assignment again, but he is able to join us at least and not let us down again. Right, Andrew Kirkland?
That is correct. I'm pissed off. I lost from this freaking idiot that beat me. Yorkie, over to you. I don't really care what you have to say, because anything you say right now is a piece of garbage. So anyways, over to you, Yorkie.
Big fucking win, I'll tell you that.
Eat shit.
No, live from Scotiabank. It's weird calling this place Scotiabank. We'll always be the Air Canada Center. Live from the bowels of Scotiabank Arena. We got our home opener. I was away on assignment in Montreal last week. Commissioner's Corner this week is all about bye weeks. They're fucking coming. Everyone hates them. You got guys going, guys coming. We don't know who's going. You're playing against teams that maybe their top quarterbacks on the bye week, their top wide receiver. You're looking about who's coming up on bye weeks. You're picking guys up bye weeks. It's a crazy time of year, and it's pretty much luck of the draw. You're going to go up against week 9. I know I play week 9, and I got like 6 guys on the bye week. So it's all bye week prep, who you're going to pick up, and you might have to throw a week. And we don't like when guys throw a week, but we know that it might happen, and you might going to have to go on the waiver wire and pick up some guys or make some trades. So it's going to get the action rolling. And especially with some guys in the standings, they got to make some moves. You know, we always say, what's Kazi, what do you always say the record is to get in the playoffs?
6-7. Give me 6 wins. Count to 6.
6 wins get you in the playoffs. So
count to 6. Don't tell everyone that, though. Well, some guys might be nervous about getting 8. Now we just revealed it to everybody.
Hey, it's no secret.
It isn't. Especially the way this league goes. I heard on the Commissioner Corner last week there's lots of parity.
That was a big deal.
Did you listen to the Commissioner Corner last week, Yorkie?
I did. I did listen to it. I actually listened to it on my flight home from Montreal the next. So I end up flying home on Thursday. So we stayed the night, had a nice night on St. Catherine Street. So I did listen to the podcast.
Any smoked meat in Montreal? That's my last question for you. I'll let Kirky feel it.
We did go to Schwartz's.
Yeah.
There was no super sex appearances, but we did have a few few drinks in Old Montreal.
Bullshit. When you guys lit it up.
Our sponsor is thrilled. Our sponsor's thrilled that you mentioned super sex. That's amazing. Yeah. Grinbrush. Also Grinbrush. Super sex.
So, Shrew's Corner this week is all about buys. But I do have to run here. There's 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
Do you talk to Kawhi?
Yes, I do talk to Kawhi.
So he talks? Is he happy about Toronto?
He talks. He does call me Yorkie. I do have his cell number, if that's what you're asking.
Have you shook his hand?
Yeah, he's got massive hands. Anyways, yeah, it's going to be a long year. What the fuck's going on? Is he going to sign? Is he going to sign? Let's just enjoy the year. You know, we're going to go on a deep run. Hopefully go to the finals. And we'll see where it goes. But okay. I will tell you one thing. You guys know how close I am with a certain number 7 on the Raptors. He's fucking ready to go this year. Yeah. Ready to go. I'll tell you that.
Buddy, eh?
So, ready to prove to a lot of people, especially Kawhi, a little insight here. Especially to Kawhi, that he is a true 4-time NBA All-Star.
Very good. Okay, on that note, get out of here.
Out. I'm out. You guys enjoy.
Go watch some stocks later.
That was perfect because it actually sounded like he was from the bowels of the Scosh. Are the kids calling it the Scosh these days? What's the? Do we have a short form yet? I heard the vault thrown out.
Trying the vault. That's a good one. I was trying to figure it out. Like the ACC just sounded so good, but you can't do like. SBA. Like, I don't think you do something like that. Scotiabank.
The SBA. It's the SBA.
The SBA?
The SBA. Blah.
The vault is good. The vault would be really cool.
You know who we should get is the guy who did the pronunciations a few years ago? Like, the American Riley. We should get that guy to come up with a Scotiabank.
I have no idea who you're talking about. What are you referring to there?
My background in our Sportsnet days, we always used to, we couldn't mess up any pronunciations. It's, NHL sends out a huge guide, but there was a guy who kind of played off of it on YouTube, and he would take names and just butcher them on purpose, like, really simple names like Morgan Riley and just like make them sound just awful. So
I would last 15 minutes at Sportsnet, eh? The amount of things that I do.
Well, you call like James White would be James Black or something, and then it would just be like controversial.
Like if there's two vowels back to back in a name, it's over for me. Yeah,
you do okay, Kurt. You do okay for yourself. You're doing pretty good.
Trying really hard. So,
and 5-1 too. Okay,
so let's get into it. What do you want? Yeah, I'm glad Yorkie didn't get me all too much riled up about how he beat me this week. But anyways.
It's a very Yorkie thing to do. It's a very Yorkie thing to do. I think we should do. You got some NFL stuff first, or what do you want? How do you want to run this thing?
Yeah, you do your fake headline first. This is a new segment coming in. I honestly haven't even looked at the injury report, but I will bring that up while you're doing your fake headline.
Okay, so this is crazy that we got this. We got live audio. I'm pretty sure this was the Packers broadcast. From Monday night. So let me just see if we can pull up the clip here. Here we go. Final play of the Monday nighter. The man they call Stu Fart sitting uncomfortably on a 2+ point lead. He looks like an 80-year-old man with hemorrhoids, and he's just watched Aaron Rodgers lead another ridiculous fourth quarter drive against the Niners. Now, normally, that would not matter, but Ryan Chambers had the stones to start Mason Crosby, the beleaguered kicker, on the field now. Staring down a chip shot field goal. Oh, this would give You Want the D or to Johnson a thrilling W. That's a lot of D's in there. Stewart remains crouched in the fetal position as he gazes at the TV. The snap. The kick is up. It's good. It's good. Mason Crosby, after going 1-for-5 last week, lays down the law for Officer Chainball and ends Lafferty Daniels' undefeated run 157 to get this. 156.65. That was your final. Luke Stewart just got kicked in the nuts on the final play of week six. Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So first we got to credit Wisconsin, Radio Wisconsin, for that great clip. That was
oh my God. Thank you, Radio Wisconsin, for breaking it down so well.
And for some reason it was from New York. I don't know why it was from New York, but
well, whatever. It's national, right? But it's a national feed, and they're obviously paying attention to the UFFL. I had no idea. Is that a true? Did that actually happen? Like, didn't Mason Crosby hit it? Oh my God.
I looked after.
I had no idea. And I thought for sure. I just thought Luke was losing. And I was, man. Well, that keeps me in first place for another week. All that really matters, I guess. But anyways, that's huge. Is that like the biggest thing that's ever happened?
It's the worst beat. It's the worst beat.
Hendry had a beat last year. I think we talked about this where he was playing G&J in a block punt.
Yeah, yeah.
Last play of the game. And that was bad. But, man. But, I guess the thing with this one is the fact that it's, 0.35 points.
It's ridiculous. First of all, because I didn't even notice that he went back ahead. And I was trying to figure out how Stewart went back ahead. But he managed to get ahead, I think, with Marquez Valdes-Scantling put him just ahead on one of the last catches on the last drive.
Wow.
So it's great for him that Rodgers made the completion to Scantling, or Valdes-Scantling. I don't know what he likes to be called. MVS, I guess. But in turn, it keeps setting up Mason Crosby for a game winner. And then the Packers tried so hard not to even get a field goal off. They kept lining up and throwing passes that the Niners let them get even closer. And then, Crosby bangs it through, and I kind of just glance at the matchup, and I just started laughing so hard. Oh, my God.
Honestly, that is nuts.
Yeah. I hope the levels were okay on that highlight, too. It might have come through a little loud, but
buddy,
we'll see how the recording does.
You had me on every word that was coming out there. Holy shit. Or not you, the Wisconsin feed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Wisconsin feed. Sure. So that was, yeah, and that wasn't even any of the, that turned out to be, obviously, in hindsight, that's now the matchup of the week for week six. That might be the matchup of the whole season, so.
Career matchup. Chambliss played a lot of fantasy football, and I think that's got to be up there for, the best wins ever for him.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him about it. It's going to be great. I can't wait to talk to Stewart about it either, but I also don't want karma to come back too hard. Anyway, that was pretty thrilling stuff from the UFL Week 6. What else you got for us?
Nothing, man. I can't find the website that I... I don't know.
All right, let's just try... Let's think, the Fournette misery continues. I don't think he practiced today. This being a Wednesday, we record Wednesday at 9 sharp. We're never late. We never have any technical issues. We always record right away, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, other than that, there's a couple guys popping up here and there, but like Yorkie said too, the buys are out there, and he talked about maybe throwing weeks, and that's something I can never do. We know that. I need every single point and win possible, but. What's your take on that, bye weeks? And have you ever gone into a week going, you know what, I'm probably not going to win, so maybe I won't try and make as many moves? Or you ever held a roster spot just because?
So usually it happens to me in my bye weeks. I wait till, I have one guy in my bench that I hold all season to cover my QB bye week. So Drew Brees had... Drew Brees had his bye week last week, so now I've just opened up another roster spot because I was carrying a QB roster spot on my bench until I could play. In this case, it was Case Keenum. That's the kind of way I manage the bye week. I don't draft for the bye weeks. I know some guys kind of do. I did that in the past. I didn't do that this year. I said, I'll just figure it out. Just take the best player I can get.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a... It's something you gotta worry about. I'm playing Stewart this week, and he's heavy on the Steelers, and with the Steelers on the bye week, so he's got
He's got like Eli Manning going against me, which is shit. Like
we might end up talking about that matchup later on in the show.
You look at his roster. He's got one person playing on the bench. Everyone else is on bye. Roethlisberger, the guy from Spain, Marquez Valdez Scantling, Marshawn Lynch, Randall Cobb, Le'Veon Bell, and Ty Montgomery. Like that's a lot. His boy Ty.
Yes, loves Ty.
But you know what? Like as Yorkie was saying, like you hit the shitter on one bye week, on 1 week, and that may not be a bad thing to do. Like literally, just like okay, if I'm gonna rather than having a bunch of average weeks, just have a one really shitty week and get all my bye weeks out of the way. I'm gonna lose. Who cares? And then for 12 weeks of the season, I can go for a win and potentially a high week in the UFFL. So.
Yeah, I figure if you win without your first rounder, that's house money. If you win without maybe your second rounder, that's kind of house money as well. And then you kind of just go from there. Like quarterbacks, like you said, you can grab a guy and plan for it, and you take a bit of a hit, but quarterbacks pick up points in this league pretty easily. So
yeah,
I definitely. Are you a trade hunter on bye? I won't spend too much time on this, but no. Do you look at guys' teams and see who's desperate for players or?
No.
How do you play that?
No, I don't do that at all. Like I may do that, but I haven't been doing that this year. I'm happy with my team. What's going on? Maybe some slight tweaking, but nothing. Like I'm not going to be ruthless to guys. And I absolutely hate when guys come to me and be like, "Hey, you've got all the guys on bye week." Yeah, I know, you idiot. Like so. Not to do that to people.
I'm really glad I brought that up now. At first I was like, I don't know if I'll bring this up, but I'm super pumped I brought that up. That's great.
So, okay. So looking at like what happened over last week, like in the UFFL, there wasn't any trades. I do have a question for you.
Okay.
What happened with Chris Hogan? Did you trade him?
No, I'm done with him. I watched every moment of the Sunday Nighter in the best matchup the Patriots are going to get all year, where they're going to score 43 points and he's going to get his regular eight. And I ain't got time for that. I think it's a quote. It's trendy. Might have been trendy a couple of years ago. Ain't got no time for that or something.
Yeah, what pick for you? Third round?
Fourth round. Golden Tate may have been better. I haven't looked into it too much, but I don't know if Golden Tate lasted that long. But
no, I don't think he did.
He was really the only one I was looking at, or taking Lamar Miller that high. But actually, I think he was gone too. So,
just looking at the waiver wires, like Jurgen was talking about the bye weeks, it seemed like a lot of guys were just kind of tinkering this past week, like. Having Chris Hogan on the waiver wire was pretty big for people. But a lot of defenses, QBs, kickers, a lot of guys kind of messing around with things like that.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah, for sure. So, and Chamber really has no love for Mason Crosby because he dropped him.
Right away, he had 16 points from his kicker on Monday night. To ice someone, just crazy. That's why you play, though. That's why you lift all those weights.
Yeah. Now, having said that, I think we're going to get to it. I think we're going to get to our special guest.
I love it.
We'll bring him in for the Mo and we'll bring him in for the Dud because I know he's got some comments on that. And he did respond to our challenge last week about doing the over-under on the Mo and Dud. Now, I don't know if we've officially said who is coming on, but this is a really special guest. And this is Jordan Winter, out of time. J-Well, are you there?
In the building, fellas. How are we doing?
Oh, my God, J-Well. Welcome to the Sixth Sense podcast. So J-Well, we're just talking about, pickups and drops. So additions and drops, and you made one not too long ago, actually, earlier this afternoon, of a player that you picked and were kind of high on going into it. I'm actually still surprised he was still on your team, but you dropped Dez Bryant. What was going through your mind when you dropped Dez, and how much disappointment did you have internally?
He was a 13th rounder. I'm not going to be too upset. That was a flyer. That was the equivalent of where we're at today with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they've got the same amount of points, and Le'Veon went number three in the entire draft. But Le'Veon has a chance to obviously play. It was more or less just getting fed up. He was a waste of a spot on a bench on a team that's got some injury issues right now and is a little thin right across the board, to be honest.
And how is he in the room? How is he with the on the bench? Like, he's kind of a guy that seems like a bit of a dick, but was he causing ruckus in your fantasy football lineup team?
Oh, he was the worst. He was the worst.
Another owner ripping him. I love it. Jerry Jones, now J-Wow.
Oh, God. He's just chirping on social media. Like, no respect for the owner, no respect for management.
So speaking of wide receivers that are chirping, what is Odell doing right now? Like, is he? Why is the owner and the coach like talking smack? Like, what's going on there? Anyone know?
He's gotten paid now. He can say what he wants.
But what is he saying? Like, is he just getting like?
Oh, he's pissed about Eli at quarterback. Oh. They got no O-line, and they got a 53-year-old slinging 10-yard passes all day.
So he's just pissed about that. Anyways, as a side note. So J-Well, thanks for taking the time. And obviously, everyone's pretty jacked up about your gracious hosting that's going to be happening on this Sunday. But before we get into that, just kind of want, you know, give us a little bit of a deeper dive on the team, on your team. Like, you know, what was your strategy going into this year? Is it working out? And then maybe any changes or enhancements you want to make to your team for the second half of the season?
First off, appreciate the opportunity to be here, fellas. A lot of fun. Avid listener of the podcast, and keep up the great work. In terms of drafting the team, one of my biggest rules, and you know, I sat across the table from you at the draft, was talking about drafting a tight end in the second round. And that's something I never, ever do. And, you know, changed the strategy this year a little and went with Gronk because he was the best player available, and he's not on my team entering week six.
So you liked your strategy then?
Oh, loved it. 2019 campaign, the tight end is going in the first round. No, yeah, he's tough.
I took him second round last year, and I agree, it just doesn't work well. He probably is the best player available, but. Well, especially with Gronk, I don't think you can really trust him. That's the only thing, right? So,
Do you think it's the unpredictability of the league, or like, was it something? Did you turn on a dime, or did you go into the draft thinking that? Or
no, you know what? Honestly, I had Tyreek Hill last year. He was awesome on my team, and he was still available when it came around. And I just thought to myself, like, I think you're going to get bit this year. I don't know. It was just a gut instinct not to take Tyreek and. Passed on him, and look what he's done so far. He's just murdering the league.
Oh, he's like fast and stuff.
I didn't know that, really.
yeah. Evidently, he just puts up like 35 points in the fourth quarter of the Monday Nighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one quarter. So project that across the season, I think he'll do okay. What about Cooper Kupp?
Love the guy. I've had him on my team multiple years. I guess his second year, obviously, because he's a second-year player, but he was great last year as a rookie. Great slot receiver, great hands, good speed. Seems to be a tough guy to tackle, and I think I ended up picking him up around like the sixth round, which you know, hindsight seems like a pretty good steal considering it's like Derrick Henry in the fourth. The loser trade of that entire draft is Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's brutal.
I'm just gonna check his rank. I'm not gonna say it out loud.
Don't. I don't even think he's inside the 300.
He is, but yeah, don't check his rank without a bucket or something close.
Oh, J-Well, thanks. I know you were peddling him off to me about 2 weeks ago, so.
hey, actually, you know what? I wanted to talk to you about that trade.
Okay, go.
Cool. Honestly, one of my questions for you guys was regarding like how you evaluate trades when something is sent your way in terms of what metrics are important to you. Like, is it percentage owned? Because I know you mentioned that, Kirky, when I sent you that Jakeem Grant with Derrick Henry for Tyler Boyd. And that was before Boyd put up 25 points in week six. So I was curious as to why you thought that trade looked horrible, and I was on the other end being like, I think it looks fair.
I'm pretty sure when you sent me that trade, there was only one guy available. Like, there was only one guy on that trade. There was, it was, I don't even know who.
So Derrick Henry was the whipped cream then. He's still available, by the way. I like him.
So, Cosby, why don't you take that one? Because you probably do way more analysis than I do.
On trades in general?
Yeah, like if somebody sends you a trade, what's going through your mind, and how do you analyze it?
I just I want the projected points to match up, and I want to be filling a position that I need, and that's it, pretty much. Like if I'm getting sent two for ones, I always find tough too. J-Well, I'll just say that, like, a lot of guys seem averse to them, and I'm not a guy who goes about thinking what the other manager needs, and I think some guys get sort of going like, I don't even need a running back. Why are you talking to me? It's like, I don't know. I got to ask, right? So,
right.
I try to eliminate all that and just go strictly based on points and what my lineup's going to look like. Because this time of year, too, you just got guys you love, right? So if you want to go after a guy, there's a reason he's in your lineup. And if you're holding on a guy, or if you haven't tried to trade a guy, it's because he's looked nice in your lineup all year. So people like to get comfortable with their teams. And I think that's basically what it comes down to is, and like you said too, J-Well, it's gut instinct type stuff too. It could be the most fair trade on earth, but if I got a feeling about a guy, that could be the only thing that ends it.
I think for me, I'm pretty biased on the team that the guy plays for. Like, I just want to have guys that play on big offenses, and that's all I care about. So, like, as an example, you know, somebody, well, Burnside was offering me a couple guys on some bad offenses, like really bad offenses, like Cleveland. And I was just like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I just can't stand bad offenses, because I just feel like you set yourself up for that boom and bust. And right. I can't handle that. So I need consistency. I'd rather get a bunch of 150s or average of 150 a week than go 190, 110. So, you know, me, it's all about, you know, and
you don't even know what 110 sounds like. You don't know what 110 even is like.
I know. It's pretty good.
Oh, dude, I am very well aware of how 110 sounds. So listen to this. So my team's highest score outside of the week, I put up 200 and change. Drum roll, please. Yeah. 129. The highest score.
Are you kidding?
Outside of my – so, dude, how am I not 1-5? Happy to be in the conversation through six games with those numbers, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, maybe just a pure intimidation after your – we just need to chirp Jared Goff more.
Yeah, seriously, let's start a conversation on Jared Goff, because honestly, the last couple of weeks he's been my worst player.
What, do you got any analysis on that, or is it just he's just not his couple weeks?
I don't know how you throw the dud he did last week. I had Mitch on the bench. You know, hindsight's 20/20, of course, and he puts up 37 or something like that. And my stud, Jared Goff, you know, fourth-ranked player in the league, throws a nice little single digit out there, underprojects by like 20 points.
Yeah, very frustrating. Boom and bust.
What do you think? Final thing on J-Well's team. Maybe it's not even about J-Well's team. Don't you feel like Mitchell Trubisky is like, growing up, it's like, little Mitchell Trubisky going around, like, it's just, I can't,
little Mitchell,
I can't
around see the corner.
Oh, hey, is Mitchell coming by? Like, I just don't, like, he had to be the most, either, like, I don't even know what the word is for him, but just everyone had to just say his name like that. I can't see anyone else. If I had to do play by play, I can't even imagine not doing that once on the broadcast. Anyway, that's my Mitchell Trubisky note.
So
very valuable.
Before we get into the bow and the dud, and we'll review last week's show, I got one more question for you, just because I find that, you know, you probably are one of the more active people in this league. You do some analysis on other guys' teams. You offer good trades. For me, it, you know, kind of stimulates conversation. I like that. Do you do that to a lot of players or a lot of different teams, or is there any particular GM you like dealing with more? or, you know, give us your take on, you know, the other GMs in the league and kind of who you like dealing with.
Ozzie's obviously always ready to deal. I have a couple conversations with him. We were actually pretty close on a pretty good deal. He actually recommended to talk to Burnside because he was looking to upgrade tight end. And that's how the Gronk deal started. We got trading. We probably counter-traded like 15 times.
Who, you and Burnside?
Oh, yeah. We were going back and forth. And that's why it took so stupidly long to get that deal through. And then it went through a minute before the stupid game started. and then we missed. And whatever. The week was kind of a wash on either side. I think it was like, I don't know what the points were, but it would have been essentially a wash. But Bernie's good. He's always sending decent offers. He sent me one today that was absolutely insulting. I won't even say what the deal was because I don't want to throw the guy under the bus, but it was just like, what are you offering right now?
Yeah, no, he sent me two today, but the same guy.
He's off today. He's off. He must have been off today.
He was actually honest, though. He actually admitted that he was going after teams that had really weak running backs, and my team fits that bill pretty nicely.
Yeah. What about Hendry? I don't know about you guys, but in past years, he's been pretty active, but I haven't been really much from him this year. What about you, Jay? Well, you ever deal with Hendry?
Yeah, we were talking earlier this year on a couple small deals, and I don't know. Like, I go back to my question earlier about how what metrics people are looking at when they're judging the quality of a trade. And when you get someone like myself who's looking at, like, you know, season rank and points put up versus projected points, but you have someone else that thinks the opposite, like, you'll never find a fair deal, like, you know, mentally on either side of that transaction.
Yeah, I think in a situation, like, you got to figure out what, you know, kind of what are the decision makers of that GM. Because you're probably just wasting time if you're both going to decide on different factors, you're probably not going to come to a deal, and you're just going to be looking at trade offers, and it's just going to be, you know, be rejected right away. So,
anyway. Well, true sportsman though, JWoww. Like, we just threw out three possible opportunities just to roast guys, stir the pot, and. Nothing but class, as usual, from Jordan Winter.
No, screw that. So we'll be more pointed.
We go high.
Yeah, you know it, buddy. All class.
So
black tie, optional.
No. Yeah, that's right. It's not what this. No, we're not the pillow hot box here. All right. So anyone you like don't like dealing with, like, it's just like, fuck, I hate you. You're the worst GM ever.
Well, you guys hit it on it a few podcasts ago, talking about, you know, sending trades to people and then they just hit reject and never off a counter or never message back. And there's certain guys in the league that just do that regardless. So that's a bit frustrating sometimes. But like you said, Kirky, in like week two or three of the podcast, usually you're having a conversation through WhatsApp or something else. Beforehand, just to get the conversation started, and then you start to actually throw deals back and forth.
Yeah, well, I know, and I think that's probably what happened. The guys get these deals, they reject right away, but just because you don't know what that other person is looking for. So, you know, you take offense to it, but you know, it just may be such an offensive offer to receive. So, anyways.
Again, he didn't name names. I love it. But we didn't ask, actually. It's kind of a new day and age for trades, right? Like, it used to be, like, when you were younger, you actually saw the guys all the time as well, which is going to be pretty sweet to see everyone, as many as we can on the weekend. But we never always ask Kirk. We've had Hendry on and now JWoww. Sorry you're a second to Hendry, buddy, but figure that out.
That's why.
That was true. He was in a prime spot. It was a convenience relationship. Yeah. But we never ask when you started playing. How long have you been in the fantasy football game?
Oh, not long. I think my first ever fantasy team was at Invesco, like probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, that's long. Don't be not long in that. That's long enough.
No, but I haven't played consecutive years since then. I think we did one or 2 years, and then we didn't do one for a couple years, and then I got back on with you guys in this league. Which is obviously the best league.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we first started this league up and I asked you and you were like, hey, man, yeah, I'll come in, but I don't really follow football that much. But I would say since you've been in this league, you've been one of the, you know, you've been an active, consistent, you know, and you know, reputable GM. So, you know, obviously you enjoy it, and so good on you. But anyways, enough of that. Let's go on to having a little drink. Are we, Cosby?
No, that was Jay Wow.
That was the special guest.
Long Island iced tea there? What do you got?
Oh, it's a little Shirley Temple. Never hurt anybody.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay.
Wow, give me those cherries. I want one of those cherries.
All right. So the mole last week, was myself versus Yorkie at 302.5 over under. We went way over on that. I fucking lost at a 168 or something stupid like that, which is ridiculous. Cosby, did me and you say under on that one?
I guess today when I wrote these notes, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. But J-Well,
we both took the under because I was doubting a couple of your guys.
Yeah,
we both went under on the first, and we both went over on the dud. Is what I, from what I can remember.
Yeah, and fuck J-Well, were you in the dud? No, who's in the dud?
I'm usually in the dud.
your matchup really was the dud. 119, you lost to Bondo. Are you kidding me?
Dude, is this the first time you're looking at this?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome, Bondo. You are absolutely welcome.
Oh, my God.
You should make a bet with him that he won't win all the rest of the year.
No,
Ofer sucks. You saved his life. Ofer is the worst.
One and 119. That's brutal.
Just a true gentleman.
The dud actually last week was Burnside and Gary. So what did they come on at? 143 to 113. So that's around 260. That's way under. Yeah. Well, it's under. So anyways, we had an over on the mo and an under on the dud. Okay. Obviously, that real dud last week was.
We didn't ask Jay, what were JWoww's picks in the WhatsApp? Sorry to cut you off.
No, I did over.
All right, 1 for 2 is better than the full-time host of the Sixth Sense podcast. So,
why like did we go? Did we went?
We missed both. We're idiots. Yeah. JWoww predicts other matchups better than he does real players.
Man,
that is a sixth sense.
You know how we talked about the. So, boys, I set up a Bet365 account over the weekend.
Oh, no.
Bets on...
can you bet on the UFFL?
Yeah. But, well, yeah, I can start. I'm making the... I can just have to add odds to it. I'm making the lines. But, so, remember I was talking last week about the Patriots-Chiefs game going to be like 115, you know, over? So, the actual over-under on that line was 58. So, I was like, fuck, I'm taking it all day. Because I'm a rookie at Bet365, I thought I made a bet, but I actually didn't make the bet. So I thought I hit like over 58 points, book it, let's go. But
didn't
like submit. So anyway.
You just like favorited it? You give it a thumbs up or something? I like the over.
I have no
idea. I heart the over.
I was like, And then, so I was like, okay, it was coming into the fourth quarter and you do like in-game bets and they changed the over-under line to like 68 at that point. And they were like around 40 something in midway through the third. So I'm like, you know what? They're going to come under. They're going to come under 66 or 68 or whatever it is. And then, you know, I fall asleep. Tariq Hill bites it up, 3 touchdowns, just brutal. So, you know, my first weekend at Bet365 did not go very well.
I need to get you a coach.
I did win 47 cents on the Monday nighter. I bet $2 on the Packers to win just because I needed to get off this streak. So
and you
just,
barely won it. You barely won it.
47
cents.
47 cents on a $2 bet. So.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, so.
Jay, well, all right. Can you hire him a tutor or something for Bet365?
I do.
I'll just send him over to Aussies.
I go to my guy. Do first my guy. And I also bet on the Leafs. I bet the over on the Leafs twice. They didn't do it. They didn't do it either of the times. So, anyways, it's just not been good. But, anyways, I'm down a little bit. But the good thing about this is I'm playing with house money right now because I match all my bets at the end of the month. So, anyways, going on to this week, What are your notes here, Cosby? He can stay. Oh, okay, good.
I'm giving
one dud or what?
What's that?
Don't worry about it. No one knows. We have a Google Docs thing that we kind of make notes in and stuff. And I was just reading literally off the Google Docs about how you can stay on and have some insight into the Mo and Dud of this week. So, okay.
If you have time, do you have time?
Of course.
Yeah, nice.
You're on a Wednesday night.
You might have to go to the grocery store. I don't know.
Store? Is that what you're doing after this, Cos? Sometimes you
do. No, I'm going to bed. I sit up and watch the stupid Dodgers win last night. Stupid idiots.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's name these things quick, and we'll get the over-unders on this. So, okay. I hate to bring this up again, but, like, a 1-2 matchup.
Oh, come on. You know.
Like, well, I'm going to say it's not going to be the mold, but I think Jaeger Bombers versus Lafferty Daniel should, like, potentially be in there. If Stufart had like anyone playing, it probably would be the Mo, but he's not. So I will say no, that's not the Mo. I kind of think another good option for a Mo, and this has a lot of implications across the board as far as like, you know, putting one guy up and really fighting for the championship or the league leader, or even pushing one guy in the bubble and really fighting for a playoff spot. But I would say it's the 4-6 matchup. So Shooter McGavin versus lots of Korean Puffs. I think that one's a big one. It's got an okay, it's okay projected points, but.
His will be higher too. He just doesn't even have a kicker slotted in yet.
Yeah. So that's Delamere versus Cosby. J-Well, what do you think of that?
That's actually the matchup I was looking at.
Okay.
I see a ton of questionable players on Steve's team though. Like half his roster.
Hey, do you know if Delamere, J-Well, do you know if Delamere listens to this podcast?
I don't think so, because he didn't even know about the event on Sunday until like 3 days ago. And I have texted him individually. It's been mentioned on the podcast probably like 2 or 3 times and the WhatsApp group.
That guy's a mess. It's like 7 fantasy football leagues and he's got a kid at home. He just walk around.
Doesn't know if he's coming or going.
Yeah, with his eyes open. So, okay. And he's been in the fucking mall a couple times. So, oh, sorry, Cosby. Is your mom listening to this one again?
Hi, Mom. She knows we swear. It's okay. I've been home since college, so.
Okay, good.
She's used to swearing.
Okay. Sorry, Ms. Cosby. All right, so that's the one. Okay, so I will say the over-under on this one. I'll come in at 296.5. Much higher than the projected points. 296.
We're going to go to the guest first.
296. I am going to say under.
Okay. Any reasoning?
I see a lot of questionables. I don't know, gut feeling. I think a couple guys are going to lay some duds on either side, and there's not going to be anyone that's going to really have a blowout week.
Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna go with the under as well. And my reasoning for that is to add on to what J-Well said about the questionables. There's a lot of questionables. Like I don't know what's going on with Edelman, maybe you can loop us into that, but
I'm as in the dark as everyone. The whole world doesn't know. He's a Patriot. No one knows what the heck's gonna happen. He'll play though.
I sense some frustration.
Well, it's figures. I just dropped Chris Hogan this week.
Yeah,
well, that was coming anyways.
The other thing I look at here is I tend to look at what QBs are, who they're playing. So obviously Andy Dalton's going to throw a bunch of touchdowns against KC, probably to Tyler Boyd. Maybe, yeah, got him in the lineup this week. But with Deshaun Watson playing Jacksonville, it's a tough D. So I will say, I'll say the under. Cosby, what are you thinking in your matchup?
I don't know if I've been in one where I said I would blow the, I think I was in a dud of the week that I said we'd blow the total out of the water, and I don't know if we did or not. But I'll go over because I got to root for points.
Okay.
But I'm not picking a winner because you know me.
I'm picking a winner, and Cosby, I have you in this one. I'm feeling good about it. Just too many questionables, and Deshaun playing Jacksonville. Andy Dalton's going to have a big, big week.
Okay. So. Book it.
And Kamara is now taking what seems like an immediate backseat to Ingram. Like, what a turn of events there.
Yeah,
that was baffling.
That was pretty good, actually, for me that in the week six. But okay, gentlemen, moving our attention to the dud.
Oh, jeez. Say it ain't so.
I wonder how he kept J-Well on. It's weird.
It's obviously that one.
I don't know if it's obvious.
Well, like, okay, not obvious because any matchup Bondo's in is going to be a terrible matchup. So, yeah, so the thing is that Bondo is a terrible team.
The kid's got a chip on a chair, though, Kirky. 1-5 now. Dalvin Cook, they tell us he's going to play, looks like. Off the injury report.
Dalvin Cook will score less points than Derrick Henry the rest of the year.
Tell Bondo.
Here's a take. There's a take. Write that down. Write that.
You've been taking notes, which is also nearly unheard of. So
I know. I'm good. All right.
So well, I don't know. The 1 versus 2 looks like a pretty crappy matchup, though. Maybe that'll dud out.
Well, if Stewart gets like 140 points, he's going to project 30 over, and Kirky just has to hit his number to beat him.
Yeah. That could be the biggest blowout, but I don't know if that makes it a bad game or not.
Well, check the Week 8 matchups. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but J-Wild's going to lay the turd of the season. Like 50 points projected.
I'm not even looking. I'm not going to look. That's fantastic.
55 points.
That's why this week is vital for the W against the Aussie.
Yeah, you got to. But he just lost. That was the other thing, Kirky, injury-wise. Devontae Freeman, bye-bye-o, surgery-o on his groin. Those are not technical medical terms. No one calls it surgery-o. Or talks about it jokingly, especially if it's groin surgery, but I guess I do.
Okay, I'm going to put this at, so the J-Well Aussie matchup, I'm going to put this at...
Oh, so it is the dud.
Oh, it's the dud.
Yeah, great timing to be on. Are you, like, that? We're kind of giving you the spotlight, though, because we're going to get to your promo for your house this weekend. Coming up after.
It could either be the greatest rub-in ever, or it could be the greatest just like lambasting.
Well, it's better this week than next week for you then, eh?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you have that in mind, scheduling the party?
Oh, I just saw Ozzy there in that week 7 slot and said, that's the week.
Phenomenal.
All right, so I'm going to put the over-under at 241.5.
Oh, we're going over.
Over 120 each is hilarious. That's like a backhand to the whole managerial system.
You going over, Cosby?
Absolutely.
I'm going under.
And I'm taking Oz Striker, but just because of the standings.
So, yeah, I think Ozzy's going to win too. But Jay,
just because I need it.
What was your stat, like, other than you went, like, 240 that 1 week? But what else did you say? Like, you said, like, you haven't had, like, over 129?
So my weeks, my highest week outside of that 200 and change week was 129. The next highest after that is not even in the 120s. It's, like, in the teens. I won, I think, 2 weeks with 110 or 115 points.
Oh, my God.
How did that feel?
1-5. 1-5 should be the right.
How did that feel, though? It still feels good. You won.
Oh, I don't care. If I beat someone with 13 points, I don't care. It's a W.
Yeah, fist pumps. Fist pumps.
It's the race to 6, just like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're on track at 3-3, so good on you. But week 8, as you mentioned, is is a goner for you. So yeah, this is a big one. Is Ozzy coming to your house?
I don't know. He again, I think, said that he didn't get the invite or didn't know what day it was and has something else going on, or he might try to show up.
He doesn't know, like, so he's bugging me to get on the podcast. We're gonna try to get him on later, but I don't know if we're gonna have time. But like,
and we might run out of time for him.
Yeah, we might run out of time. But how the fuck does he want to come on the podcast if he doesn't listen to it? We're talking about this every single week. I literally been talking about it. The only excuse people have about not knowing about your thing is not that it's not going on. It's just that it's on the wrong day. Because I, for weeks, kept saying it was October 20th when it's right. Actually October 21st, and I don't know why.
Yeah, they don't play any NFL football on the 20th, so that would be quite the football
Saturday
party.
Saturday nighters are not starting yet, but anyways, J-Well, let's get on to that. So tell us about Sunday, and when guys can show up. What can we expect? What do you need us to bring?
Sunday, October 21st. Andrew Kirkland.
Yes.
Kickoffs at 1 o'clock. You can stay for the 1 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, and the Sunday nighter if you want. It's going to be an afternoon full affair. We'll have the zone going on the brand new 75er in the basement. Wi-Fi will be in hot demand.
No kidding.
I'm going to put on a big pot of chili. We'll do some nachos. I've got some beers here, but you know, BYOB if you want something a little off the standard. I've actually got a ton of nice cigars that my buddy just brought back from Malta. So for those inclined, help yourself. And we're going to watch a little football.
Is Steph going to be there?
Yeah.
So is she going to be getting beers for the boys or what?
You can ask her.
Does she listen?
She doesn't listen? Yeah.
She doesn't listen.
What? Come on.
Is she going to listen to this?
Let's give it a list.
Oh, yeah. I'll throw this one in front of her for sure.
Yeah, just fast forward. We need a couple more listens on Anchor to get our numbers up for our next sponsor. But, okay, cool. Cosby, are you making it?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll have guests with me as well.
Beautiful.
Who's
coming? So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, the two ladies in my life will be there and we'll have a great time.
Yeah, I'm coming solo. Evan is not coming. She's going with my grandparents.
I might be, since it's in our hometown, conveniently, I'm negotiating what the full schedule is going to look like. I might have some alone time, which sounds weird. But, yeah, I might be flying solo as well.
Yeah.
For a bit of it. So
Bondo's coming over. Bondo's actually coming down, spending a Saturday night in Port Credit, and
nice. We're
gonna make our way over there on Sunday. Do you know if Yorkie, Cosby, if Yorkie or Hendry are coming? Like, both those boys?
I hope Hendry. Hendry seemed the most excited about the whole thing, but
good.
We know if we haven't heard from him, that usually means no. He kind of just goes silent. Starts,
yeah.
like a little kid that stares at the ground when you ask him a question. He kind of just starts looking off.
Yeah, he can't say no, but he just won't talk. That's the thing.
Yeah, maybe little Mitchell Trubisky will be there too. Let's see if he comes out.
Oh, he'll be nice. Fired up.
Yeah. Well, J-Well, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait. It would be phenomenal if maybe just one beer Steph brought. That'd be nice.
I'll put in the request.
Yeah, please do. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't have to do it, but it'll be very nice. Anyways, boys, that's a good podcast. A lot of energy. I like it with the Commissioner Corner. Went through the Dud and the Mo. And just to recap on that, the Mo this week is Cosby, lots of Kareem Puffs versus Delamere, Shooter McGavin. The over-under on that is 296.5. And then the Dud, the host of the weekend, J-Well, out of time versus Ozzy. Show me your TDs, and the over under on that one is ridiculously low at 241.
That's like such an insult. Please, for like everyone's sake. Oh my God. I love it. Good show, fellas. J-Well, thanks a lot. You're an encyclopedia of the podcast and a true gentleman.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Thank you very much, J-Well. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. See you guys Sunday.
Peace.
Cheers.
back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window.